Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQBar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20. This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
I'm Emma Kenny. Welcome to Bang to Rights, the deep dive crime podcast, which takes you through some of the most heinous crimes the world has ever seen.
Let's talk about Jamaria Sessions, because we shouldn't have to talk about her. She should be a child being brought up with the most amazing mother, certainly a life that began that way. Because one of the things about this case is that I've covered so many child abuse cases. You know, I'm very committed to that. And it's one of the worst that I've ever heard in recent years. It's one that I think lets us all question, how does this horrific cruelty go unnoticed? How does a 9-year-old who's described as bright and spirited and full of life withdraw into herself to a point where she doesn't even ask for the help that she requires? So helpless in her situation. The thing about today's story is, it's not just about evil. It's about failure. It's about the failure of the adults who are meant to look after her. And it's also about the failure of systems that could have saved her life. How often do we talk about this time and time again on this channel? Will lessons be learned? I doubt it, because I wouldn't be covering yet another case where a child loses their life if lessons actually were learned. Let's talk about Jamaria. She was a really, really spirited 9-year-old girl. In the best way possible. Children of 9 should be spirited. Sometimes I think when you use the word spirited, it sounds as if they may be a little bit objectionable. So you use the word spirited to suggest that their behaviour is a little bit, shall we say, effervescent, and it can be problematic at times. I believe that spirited is such a wonderful term to describe a child. It means that they're growing into their own sense of independence. They've got their own spirit and knowledge about who they are. And they're becoming the individual you desire for them to come. And with respect to girls, girls have to learn early on there might be some bigger fights in their life than the male counterparts. And so having that spirit and independence is really powerful. And that, without a doubt, comes from her experiences in her early years with her lovely mum. She dies in June 2024, which is just unbelievable. We're talking about a child of nine losing her life. She was born January the 15th, 2015. Her mother was Tadrina Dort and her father was Lowan Sessions. She did have a biological sister who was 3 years younger than herself, and people who knew this beautiful child said that she just had this really infectious smile. She was devoted to animals. In fact, the main dream that she had in the future was that she was going to become a vet. And I love it when children of this age have those aspirations, because it just tells you something about their nature. It tells you about them having big dreams. It tells you about them wanting to achieve. And also the fact that she has looked at a passion, which is animals, and thought about making it a vocation. It says something truly beautiful about this kid. Now, she was born into a really nurturing environment. Her mother, Tadrina Dort, was absolutely devoted. When you see pictures of them together, you can just see the smiles, and you can just see how Tadrina was certainly fully engaged as a mother and extended love and compassion to her children in a way that drenched them in love. But the problem for Tadrina is that she had congestive heart failure, even as a really young woman. And that meant that she had limits, and it also meant that she had threats around her health. But she genuinely saw her children, according to the information I've garnered from her family, as her greatest joy. And like I said, it just shines through when you see photographs of her. She was actually described by people who knew and loved her and were lucky enough to be around her as a really vibrant woman. She was full of humour. She had great resilience levels. Now, bear in mind, she has care of the children at this point when she's bringing them up, but she's having some really challenging times with people from outside of her main network. So she started to receive threats and messages and insults from the father's new girlfriend, a woman called Tyshael Martin. Now, Tyshael Martin is an awful human being. Sorry, you know, when you just look at somebody and know, I don't think I needed to just see anything other than a picture of her face to understand that Tyshael is not a nice human being. She doesn't speak well, she doesn't come across as authentic, and she's nasty and cruel to the core. I'm sorry, that's the only way I can describe her, and I make no apologies for doing that. Now, the abuse and threats became so bad that Tadrina had to get a protective order against her. So what's that telling us about Martin? It's telling us that Martin is somebody who has very low boundaries, is not willing to stick to the ethics and morals that normal society would expect, and in fact is consistent in harassment. That says some highly negative things about the kind of human being that she is. Now, unfortunately, Tadrina dies, so she passes away September the 13th, 2022. Now, bear in mind, she had previously had to overcome leukemia. She has the congestive heart failure, and sadly, at 24 years of age, it is the congestive heart failure that kills her, and that is just unbelievable, isn't it? 24, whole life ahead of her, children that she literally dotes on. And you know what? I have to bring in the fact that she's being abused and threatened by this horrific excuse of a human being. The stress level that will have engaged her within could well have exacerbated her death.
This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar. I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
It could absolutely have brought it forward, because stress is known to massively impact the heart. And it's so sad, because you're talking about a woman who, despite her health battles, had loved her children, had done the best to raise her 2 children. And even when she was in hospital, she was documenting some of her time there. And on one occasion, she's actually asked about motherhood, and Tadrina said, "The love, the joy, the purpose, the hardest part, knowing I won't always be here to take care of them." It really breaks my heart, that, because obviously it's prophesizing the fears that she has. And today we're going to take those fears and we're going to put them into reality. Now, following Tadrina's death, Jamaria and her younger sister moving with her grandmother, Althea Chenault, she became their primary caregiver. And she provided a really loving home for the girls. They went to school regularly, they were in community activities regularly, and Jamaria was enrolled at Grassy Lake Elementary School. She was known here to be really enthusiastic, really kind, and the grandmother was as determined as the mother had been to provide the perfect environment for the children. So she's fighting at this point for full custody of the children. And she, as the grandparent, said that Jamaria was a once smiley 9-year-old who loved animals and yearned to be a veterinarian. But bear in mind, I'm using the term once, because things are going to change. Yes, Jamaria is very, very happy under her grandmother's care, and rightfully so, because it's a wonderful, warm, compassionate environment. But that's going to change, and it's going to change in the worst possible way ever. Because at this point, her deadbeat father, Luan Sessions, he's in prison. He's actually been charged with aggravated manslaughter between the years of 2020 and 2023. He also had an additional criminal history, including convictions for drug trafficking, child neglect, and fleeing law enforcement. When you imagine the kind of worst case scenario for children to be brought up with somebody, I've just described it. The fact that he's been done for child neglect on top of all those other things means this guy is in no way, shape or form fit to be a father. Now, this is the story as to why he was in prison, just to go through it. So in October 2020, he was apparently inside a vehicle during a police chase. This is with his deadbeat girlfriend, Taisheil, and also children. Yeah, he's got kids in there. But he decides that he's going to flee with the vehicle, with them inside the vehicle, away from the police. And guess what happens? Yeah, a car crash. But in spite of the children being inside the vehicle, this does not stop his behaviour. So yeah, he flees with them away from the police with the kids inside, and this is when the car crash happens. He didn't care about the outcome for those children in any way, shape or form. And actually, the children were really badly injured. They actually had to be taken to the Arnold Palmer Hospital by an airlift. Nobody should allow a child within 100 feet of this individual or the female travelling with him, because clearly she's got the morals of a bucket too. Now, on October the 24th, 2023, this is when he's released from prison, he actually decides, I'm the right person to care for my children. I'm going to go and get them back. Now, I do not know on what planet anyone would agree to let this waste of space have the children back. But I do not make the rules in this world, and that is a sad thing. They may be strict, but they would make everybody safe. Now, in spite of the fact that Lujan Sessions has not actually been around the children for most of their lives, he decides that he's going to take custody of Jamaria and her sister without Chenault's permission. He literally removes them from the school in Orange County, relocates them to his residence in Montverde in Florida, and basically decides that he is going to live with his kids and his girlfriend, Taisheil. Bearing in mind, she's this horrendous piece of S who has literally been threatening and sending abusive messages to the now dead mother. She also had four daughters of her own. They were from the ages of 5, 11, 16 and 17. So this is a busy household, and they're all living together in Taisheil's care. Although it's clearly not care at all. It's a house of horrors for not necessarily her own kids, but for the children who've been brought into her life. Now, the transition from her grandmother's care to her father's household marks the biggest living shift in Jamaria's living conditions and also overall well-being. Now, we get to December 2023. This is when Jamaria is 8 years of age and her little sister is 5. At this point, Taisheil Martin says that the younger sister is misbehaving, causing strain in the relationship between her and her partner, so decides that she's going to send the little girl away to live with her father's mother, which is just crazy, because there was a grandmother who was doting on them and doing a great job, but apparently let's not allow her to have access to the child, because that is actually going to make the grandmother who wants them happy. And Taisheil isn't into the idea of making anybody happy whatsoever. Quite the contrary, she wants to make people as really miserable as possible because she's evil. Now, other family members and acquaintances, they were really not happy with this. The auntie of Jamaria, named Skylar, said, "My niece was loved and wanted. He took them out of spite and didn't even want them. And the grandmother obviously fought to gain back the custody of the children. But somehow, because the family court seemed to be, I don't know, a little bit rigged in certain places, she lost. Let that sink in. We're talking about a woman who had been providing care and doing an amazing job. The kids were happy, involved in the community, doing loads of activities, feeling safe. And this ex-con loser with his really horrifically evil girlfriend, they just swoop in, take the children without any legal grounds. And then in spite of the fact that the grandmother goes for custody in the correct way, yeah, she's denied it. Absolutely. Riddle me that, guys. Riddle me that. Now, of course, with the younger sibling being removed from the household, Jamaria is the one who has no blood link to the apparent stepmother. And it's horrible using the word stepmother because, with respect, she certainly doesn't fit into the paradigm of somebody who cares about Jamaria at all. She starts to get really singled out. She's isolated from the other siblings, and basically she becomes the main target of Tyshale's aggressive traits. Basically, imagine being somebody who is so profoundly full of evil and resentment and frustration and all the negative feelings that someone can have. And then you have this perfect opportunity to take all of that internal rage, all of that aggressive feeling, and just project it onto something else. In this case, a little girl, Jamaria. That's what's going to happen. So she starts becoming more and more and more aggressive, almost mirroring the aggression that she had towards Jamaria's biological mother. So Jamaria ends up being denied participation in family activities and outings. Just put yourself in the position of being an 8-year-old child. Your whole life has changed so massively. Your loving mother died. That's enough destabilization for any young child. But then you go to the arms of your loving grandparent and you feel safe. And yes, you're dealing with your grief and you miss your mummy. But at the end of the day, you have that foundation of security. And then all of a sudden, you're transported to hell, where you are literally made to feel like a complete outsider in a home that you should feel safe in, where your father pays no attention to you whatsoever. He's just out doing other things like having affairs with other women. And there is this woman that you have no blood connection with who hated your mother, who went out of her way to harass her to a point where there was a protective order. And yet here we are with her having the primary care of this child. And instead of caring, she's using it as an opportunity to take out all of her negativity and to just throw it onto this innocent little girl. She wasn't just kept away from family activities as well. She wasn't allowed just the basic necessities. So she would be denied food, water, she'd be denied any personal belongings. When it came down to where she would actually sleep, she was also forced to sleep on a couch or a crib-sized mattress. Unlike any of the other children, they all had their own beds. And what message is that giving to Jamaria? It's giving a very clear message. You do not belong. You're not human. You're not being treated as if you deserve your own property, your own comfort. We don't want you here. You're here, but we're going to make your life as uncomfortable as possible so that we aren't just going to have to let you know directly how we don't want you. We're going to let you know on every single level, from physical to emotional to environmental to psychological, every single level, you're going to get the very powerful.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQBar plant protein bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
The message in that is, we do not want you here. Now, Sessions, her father, he was absolutely aware of the abuse. And you know what? He didn't give a shit. I'm sorry, there's no other way of describing it. He didn't give a shit. He didn't intervene in any way. And it's not as if he wasn't hyper aware of what was playing out, because there were text messages revealing that he and Tyshael were constantly joking about the abuse. In fact, they referred to it as boot camp. And when it comes down to some of the punishments, they were just heinous. I mean, they're minimal to what actually happens in this case, but just to imagine a little girl going through this after all the losses and all the disruption and all the pain that she's been through. So she would be made to perform prolonged wall sits, sometimes for hours. Try 10 minutes of it, guys, it's agony. She was made to run in place with her arms raised or on a treadmill as punishment. Again, what is wrong with these perpetrators? We see this in child torture cases all the time. These extreme forms of physical exercise forced as punishment. And these predators enjoy watching the agony for prolonged periods as far as the child is concerned when they struggle. And of course, if the child then struggles, the cycle of causation is, well, they're going to get beaten and hurt further because they failed to be able to complete an impossible task. So it's a perfect scenario for a predator because you can never win. Now, those exercises were used as a form of physical discipline. She would be absolutely exhausted. She'd be in physical pain. She'd be very badly strained body-wise. And her father said, I just saw it as tough love. Say, what's that? Yeah, I just saw it as tough love. Right. So you're being loving whilst you're ensuring that she's in absolute agony and physical harm. Yeah, that's tough love. Would you say a child getting tough love should suffer less than, I don't know, a person who goes to prison for a serious crime? Yeah, because that's obviously criminal. That requires more than just tough love. Great. So would you say that, for example, if you happen to be sent to prison, just throwing it out there, and you'd done some pretty horrendous things towards a child, you would feel it was appropriate for the person who's sentenced to, shall we say, be whipped with a cat of nine tails for 4 hours every single day and only be fed once every 4 days and then only be fed food that's gone off? Would you say that was acceptable? Yeah, because obviously that's more serious than tough love, but also it would send a very powerful message. Great. Well, I've just written that down, and that'll be something that we'll be using when you're sent to prison. You horrific excuse of a father and human, full stop. I know that's not going to happen, guys. I'm just saying it should happen. It's as simple as that. So it's just tough love. It's just a bit of tough love. Also, just a bit of tough love when they're striking her with various objects such as belts and cords. Just a bit of tough love. In fact, they kicked her, they punched her. One of the favourite things that Tyshael did was would pinch her. She loved pinching her. She encouraged the other kids to pinch her as well. She's also just dragged along the floor by her hair. She was shaking violently. You know, just the normal tough love type things. Do you know what? I come from a world where I grew up in an era of what tough love was. Tough love was meant to be saying no to things that maybe your child really wanted, but you're going to delay the gratification and teach them an important lesson. I did not know that tough love, as far as these reprobates believe, was that you could just violently assault, beat, kick, and attack with objects a small child. But apparently, according to their definition, it's totally okay. Now, one of the things that really stands out in this case is the fact that we know abuse doesn't always have to be the obvious physical signs. Don't get me wrong, there are plenty where Jamaria is concerned, but what I'm talking about is those individuals who live in homes where the emotional neglect and abuse is just so present, but it's really hard for other people to see. But in this case, it is exampled so profoundly. So let's just give you an example. Tyshael takes all the children away with her and her mother on this carnival cruise ship to the Caribbean. So they were going on this cruise ship until the 9th of June. Tyshael's mother had actually very kindly paid for it. Bear in mind, Jamaria's father is still on probation. Of course he is. Where else would he be? So he can't join them. Now, Tyshael makes up a story about Jamaria, and this is actually seen in the police interview. And this story that she makes up when she's on this cruise, it's basically a permission base to be horrific to Jamaria. She says that this nine-year-old little girl, 9 years of age, flashed a boy whilst on the balcony of the cruise ship. In fact, she went into this really deep lie during her interrogation, basically saying the security on the cruise had located the room she'd been seen doing this. Now, let's just put that into context, right? Number one, 9-year-old child flashing no boobs because you don't have them on a cruise ship. What's the problem anyway? I mean, there are kids of 9 years old who constantly walk around without tops on holiday because it's hot and they're not sexual beings. You see, the sexual stuff would come from the adult's eyes projecting onto the child, which says something utterly warped about Taisheil, not about Jamaria. But also the idea that this cruise would be so horrified, oh my God, there's a 9-year-old child who's not got a top on or has shown her tiny little breasts out to the public. We must find her and we must locate her and then we must tell the primary caregivers so that she is brought back into line. That would never happen. Not in 1 zillion years. But this is the story that she's going to tell when she's trying to excuse the actions that lead to Jamaria's death. Now, apparently, the boy who had been flashed, again, this is ludicrous, identified her as perpetrator. I can imagine it. Can you imagine what happened? You know, wait a minute, guys, carnival's over. What? Yeah, carnival's over. Carnival's over. Cut the carnival. Cutting the carnival. Why are we cutting the carnival? You will not believe it. Tell me, we have a 9-year-old sexual predator who's flashed her non-existent breasts at a boy. We need to line up every single child on this carnival cruise until he identifies the actual perpetrator. Great idea. Let's get onto that now. Cut the music. Honestly, can somebody please just get inside somebody like Taisheil's brain so that we can further understand how stupid can exist so presently with evil? Because it seems like stupid and evil are the kind of main inhabitants of Taisheil's brain. Now, that boy apparently identifies her, and the investigators know straight away, this is BS. This is all about her concocting a story that's going to be about trying to minimise the actions that happens on their return home. And unsurprisingly, the crews do remember that it never happened. In fact, what they do remember, and this is really, really profound for me, because I think about all the kids that you see on these cruises. I mean, they're just like passing you by. You see a million of them. But this situation for the cruise was quite unusual when it came down to this child's behaviour, because they said that they do remember Jamaria not for the flashing incident. They actually remembered her because she was so sleepy. She was withdrawn. She was quiet. That's not what we expect when they're having the fun time of their life on a cruise. In fact, they had remembered Taisheil as the stepmother in this situation and had gone and seen her and said, listen, you need to sign Jamaria out of the carnival. She doesn't look like she wants to participate. Now, it's quite significant that they remember this child with all of those people around them, all of those other people there, she stands out. And that's because the staff's intuition that something was wrong was absolutely on point. Now, after the return from that trip, we again hear about more and more of this shady, abusive behaviour that's coming out. So on June the 10th, this is after they've got home, her father notices that his daughter, Jamaria, isn't home. So at this point, he questions Taisheil where she is, etc. And Taisheil says she sent her to stay with her own mother in California. Now, the investigation later reveals that Jamaria was in the home. She wasn't with her step-grandmother at all. But how on earth did this man living in that house not notice that his daughter was actually present? Could it be that he's a massive waste of space? Could it be that it's a massive waste of air? There are two possibilities. Let's just throw them in there. But he doesn't apparently notice. And he's just accepting the fact that Jamaria is gone off to be with his girlfriend's mother. Makes no sense whatsoever. Now, don't get me wrong. Probably down to the fact that he was having an affair. He's a little bit on the busy side, got another woman pregnant at the same time that this all plays out. So maybe he's just distracted on his mobile, you know, talking about things that he wants to do to her, as opposed to things that he might have wanted to do with his actual biological daughter. Now, on the 13th of June, this is only a few days after arriving back from the holiday, he moves out. there have been these arguments between Tyshael and him, probably because he's in bed with another woman, while I think that Tyshael is a horrendous excuse for a human and deserves all the pain that the world can provide her, it would still be upsetting even for a beast of her level to find out that the guy that she is with is actually impregnating other women. But he does at this point leave. Apparently she sprayed him with bug spray and he leaves the next morning after that event. Now, imagine how angry Tyshael is now. He's vacated the premises, probably for his own safety to some degree, and she already doesn't like Jamaria. She does not like Jamaria at all. She's very, very angry. She was angry with the mother. She's angry with this child who's now in her house with no actual relationship towards her. So the venting, the violence, the festering, the frustration, the betrayal, all of these things are just building within. And we always know.
This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
When predators get stressed or angry, they get even more dangerous. Now, I would say it's around this time that Tyshael's abuse is going to escalate even further with the backdrop of what I've just told you. Because on June the 16th, Tyshael takes the kids away once again. The reason for that is she's going to Orlando International Airport. She wants to go and see her mother in California. During the time at the airport, Jamaria is seen really unwell. Now, Tyshael gives her a Gatorade and a banana, because obviously when there's a really sick child, you just think, what can I give this really sick child? She's really sick. Medical attention. No, that seems too obvious. Water. Oh no, that's very hydrating and, you know, doesn't have high levels of sugar in it. Gatorade. Oh, that's interesting. Gatorade. Yes. I mean, that really synthetically produced product with like 40 teaspoons of sugar in and all those other additives. Yes, Gatorade sounds great. What can she have to eat? Nothing, because she's really unwell right now and it'll probably make her sick. Banana, you could do that as well. You could give her a banana. Gatorade and banana, food of kings. Honestly, like literally, you know, when you've got a sick child, you would never even think about giving them Gatorade, because it's just not going to sit on the stomach well. And neither's a bloody banana. So she's obviously trying her best to get things inside of Jamaria, because she knows how sick she is, because she's making her sick. But the moment that she does eat it and drink it, she vomits. Also, apparently she was displaying really clear signs of discomfort when she was walking through the parking lot to the airport terminal. And at that point, the truth is that no one apart from Tyshael knew why. Because Tyshael is fully aware of what's been happening behind closed doors and why Jamaria might be in such pain. So she ends up going and getting a wheelchair for Jamaria to get her through. But because she's so unwell, they all miss the flight. And guess who's going to get blamed for them missing that flight? Of course, Jamaria. The kid is struggling to walk for really good reason that we'll talk about shortly. But they miss the flight and it's all Jamaria's fault. This also, it's the last day that Jamaria will be on Earth. This is the day before her tragic death. They get home after she misses the flight. Apparently, it's all her fault. And Tyshael had booked the flight again for the 25th. Now, one of the other children in the household, they were at this point seen using hot water from a kettle to straighten Jamaria's hair. They also splashed it onto Jamaria's foot. I'm going to tell you now, that water was boiling water. Boiling water. It wasn't warm. It was boiling. Didn't just go on her hair and her scalp, it went onto her foot. Now bear in mind, in spite of that being agonising, just put yourself in that position for a minute. We've all burnt ourselves from time to time. Imagine the intensity on your scalp and your foot. This is a 9-year-old child. She did not so much as show any pain or reaction. And the reason for that is that children who are absolutely horrifically abused, they become helpless. They know no one's coming. They know no one cares. They often know that if they dare to show any emotion, they'll actually be beaten even harder. So in spite of the agony, they just swallow it down. Also, she had a compression sock on because apparently she'd hurt herself tripping over the dog food in the night. We all know that's BS, but nonetheless, she's wearing this compression bandage. And let's be clear, the lack of reaction to the burn suggests this is how used she is to the abuse. Now, the following day, when she removed the compression sock, all the skin on her foot peeled off due to the burn. That's the severity. Now, despite the injury and the fact that if you don't attend to burns and they get infected, it can literally cause sepsis, you can die, she gets no medical care. In fact, the only medical history of Jamaria being treated was in March 2024. That was when her father took her to the hospital for a severe dog bite. And let's be honest, was that dog bite actually accidental? I doubt it very much. Now, the other children who were in the household, they reported that Taisheil had given them permission to also discipline Jamaria. So let's just talk about the lies about her flashing on the cruise ship. Imagine how that will translate to the abuse she suffered where the other children are concerned. And Taisheil's 17-year-old daughter said, yeah, I did. I got involved in disciplining Jamaria because obviously her mother is coercing her into believing that Jamaria deserves this kind of abuse and is congratulated and applauded for engaging within it. It is incalculable to imagine the horror this little girl is enduring at the hands of these beasts. It was on the 17th of June that 911 received a call from Taisheil. She actually used her mother's phone. She said that she'd found Jamaria cold to the touch. She, on that phone call, literally sounds so disengaged, so uncaring. There's no concern whatsoever. Emergency responders are understandably immediately dispatched to the residence in Montverde, Florida, because they're being told there's an unresponsive child there. Now, when the police and ambulances arrive at the scene, the really sad thing is Jamaria is completely unresponsive. She's lifeless. She's naked. And her body is just a map of physical trauma. It's obvious. This child has sustained the most protracted and horrific forms of abuse. They take her body in for a medical exam, and at this point, understandably, we all are aware it was going to be ruled as a homicide, and the homicide is suggested to have been caused by blunt force injuries to her head and torso. Just to go through a list of those injuries, abrasions all over, bruises all over, puncture wounds, pinch marks, and I'm not talking about a light pinch, not that would be okay. I'm talking about deep-rooted pinch marks, sustained, aggressive pinch marks, bite marks, a broken tooth. She had blood in the left ear and that horrific burn on her foot. Now, she was pronounced dead at the scene because they couldn't do anything as emergency responders if she'd gone too far. And she was also diagnosed with rhabdomyolysis. Now, rhabdomyolysis is a really serious medical condition. It basically occurs when damaged skeletal muscle tissue breaks down really rapidly and that releases its contents. So this includes a protein called myoglobin, and that myoglobin protein goes into the bloodstream, and that can lead to kidney damage or kidney failure because basically the kidneys are struggling to filter out the toxic byproducts. Now, the autopsy also revealed that those injuries I've just talked about, they were in various stages of healing, and that means she has been through a period of prolonged protracted abuse. And the medical examiner described the injuries as literally consistent with torture. These are the points where I just want to ask why we don't lock these people up and throw away the key. The stuff that they do to children is so inexcusable. You cannot be redeemed from this reality. You can never be redeemed. This woman, this excuse for a woman, has inflicted this level of harm to a degree where this baby is dead. And how, as a society, do we believe that they deserve to even be fed from this point onwards, let alone paid for and sustained in prisons? Honestly, I know that's a hard line, but the more and more I do this, I ask myself that question. I just don't have that sense of compassion that I think I used to have when I was younger, because I see these individuals for the true demons that they are. That's the only way they can be described. Now, of course, Jamaria's stepmother, she's going to say, I don't know what you're on about. I just found the child. She was just cold to the touch. And, oh, you know, yeah, she's got these head-to-toe injuries, these really serious injuries, injuries that killed her. But actually, it's just down to all these falls and allergic reactions. She's just clumsy. If I hear the word clumsy in cases like this ever again, I will literally rip the predator's hair out. I won't rip my own out. I struggle enough with my own hair. But genuinely, that's how I feel. Like blaming the victim, various accidents, falls, allergic reactions, said no medical examiner when it came down to the death of a child. Now, there's body cam footage that is clearly showing that before they reached the police station for her to be questioned, the body cam that shows her sat inside one of the responding officers' cars can actually see that she's claiming she was asleep between the hours of 6 p.m. to 4 a.m. So, of course, this is all about her trying to cover up that she's got any kind of involvement in the death of this child. And obviously, she can't shut up. That's one of the things about her. She's so wanting to deny any involvement that she just chats away. You know, she makes sure that she talks about the events at the airport, the burn on the fort, the cruise ship. She says that she doesn't have a room. She sleeps anywhere, as if that's normal. As if that isn't making the person listening think, well, you're a complete bitch. You shouldn't have any care of any children. You've clearly done some horrible things here, because the way you're speaking about her and the things you're suggesting that she didn't have evidence the feelings that you also don't have for her. Also, she constantly goes on about Jamaria's negative behaviour, as if Jamaria would dare to misbehave. Isn't it ludicrous that these predators genuinely blame the victim and often use their behaviour as a motivation to harm them? And yet we know that if you're an abused child, the last thing you want to do is get on the wrong side of that predator and perpetrator. You're going to just keep your head down and pray that they're not going to notice you today.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Now, the police obviously extensively questioned Tyshel and also the deadbeat dad in this case, and the forensic and physical investigations were very thorough. They also evidenced 2,800 video clips from the home security system. Yes, one of the things that they did invest in, not parenting skills, but was actually good video technology. And I love that. I love it when these perpetrators forget that one day the very thing they think is there to protect them can actually be their downfall. So that home security system provided by Vinvent Security handed over the actual clips, and they literally documented so many instances of abuse. This is from physical assaults at the hands of these horrendous primary caregivers, but also, guys, dog attacks. Let that sink in. And a dog attack, even if it's a little dog, can be very, very painful. But imagine a 103-pound Rottweiler and a 9-year-old. We all know what Rottweilers look like, their strength, their size, their physical prowess. And whilst most people keep Rottweilers and bring them up beautifully, and they're gorgeous dogs, they really are. If one attacks it is almost always lethal unless they are restrained by another party. And that is very, very hard to do. But of course, we know that there will have been an enjoyment level here. There will have been an enjoyment level as far as Tashel is concerned. The idea that she can get a dog to literally rip at Jamaria. So on the 15th of June 2024, Tashel is holding the leash of a 103-pound Rottweiler, encouraging it to attack Jamaria. There's subsequent footage of her kicking, dragging and shaking Jamaria as well. Now, it turns out both of the people who are implicated in this case decide that they're going to try and delete some of the video footage. They want to cover the tracks, but apparently there was just a ton left that painted the picture of exactly what had happened. And essentially what's really sad is the abuse had gone on since the very moment that Jamaria was introduced at the home. But in the days leading up to her final hours, the severity of the abuse just intensified so much that it eventually led to the end of her life. But it, like I said, has that sense of festering frustration and rage. And the fact that he had left the home and she was left with the kids, one of which who isn't biologically hers, that seems to have been a real provocation. One of the things that I think is really telling as well is during the actual interview with the police, she's so detached. She's got no empathy. She genuinely thinks she can get away with what she's done. She'll throw in things like, you know, she does whoop the kids to some degree, that that's just normal, but she isn't willing in any way, shape or form to acknowledge the actions that have led to this child's death. Quite the contrary. She absolutely has the arrogance to think the police are going to believe her and that she's going to walk free, which means that she's massively delusional. Now, it doesn't take them long to actually arrest Tashel and also the deadbeat dad in this case. That happens on August 28, 2024, with the charges of first-degree murder, aggravated child abuse and child neglect. Now, she expressed surprise at the severity of the charges, in particular the premeditated murder charge. She just did this act of innocence throughout. You're on video, love. You're literally on video. You doing these awful things. It's premeditated because you could have killed her at any of those points, but obviously you didn't get the memo because you're a sandwich sort of a picnic, let's be clear. But basically, that's exactly what she does. She just refuses, absolutely refuses to acknowledge it, just feigning this fake surprise. Although I suppose one could say, well, psychologically, is she that surprised? So yeah, she just completely denies it and feigns this surprise. I guess to some degree, there might be a level of surprise because she genuinely thinks that she's able to pull the wool over the eyes of the investigators and is genuinely shocked when they're like, you come across as evil and non-empathic and you blame the victim constantly. That's why we know that you're guilty. Now, when she was actually informed of the premeditated murder charge, Tashel questioned, why am I being charged with premeditated murder? And the detectives then go through it and say it was due to statements that she made about the abuse, such as threatening to kill Jamaria. Do you remember when you told us that you might want to kill her? Yeah, that was a threat that I made regularly. Yeah, well, when you threaten to kill somebody and then a period after you kill them, that's premeditated. Because it was thought about before the action. Yeah, but like, I still don't understand. No, you don't. The reason you don't understand is because there's an area of your brain that would usually be within the limbic system where you'd actually be able to understand things like empathy, conscience, compassion. But what we've realised about you is you just have this big black rock of evil in there. So unfortunately, you don't understand what we're saying because you're incapable of any kind of cogency emotionally. But don't worry, we'll take it from here. Anyway, she just denies. Now, of course, detectives have so much information that they're going to present. So she's given the surveillance footage that contradicts her claims. This is including that video of her encouraging to do a dog attack on Jamaria, also with her physically abusing the child. Also, the investigators informed Tashel that the autopsy report was 26 pages long. So it wasn't as if there was just a few accidents and injuries. No, 26 pages long, detailing numerous injuries. These included bruises, burns, bite marks. When it came down to the deadbeat dad in this case, he was arrested on August the 30th, so that's 2 days after Tashel. His charges were aggravated manslaughter of a child, And the evidence against him found text messages between him and Tyshale revealing that he was completely aware of the ongoing abuse. And in some cases, he amplified it, he encouraged it. Also, they did have the security footage of him just willingly unleashing the dog on her. So it demonstrates just how horrific this couple have been. They've both been involved in that abuse. They've both been involved in allowing the dog to bite her. They've both been involved essentially in her demise. Now, you'll be very glad to know that on September the 23rd, 2024, a grand jury indicted Tyshale on charges of first-degree murder, capital, aggravated manslaughter of a child, and aggravated child abuse. Now, she appeared in court and pled not guilty to the charges. Of course she did. She actually claimed to have a meeting scheduled with an attorney at this point, but then 3 weeks later, she still didn't have legal representation. I do hope that that's because whenever she went to speak to somebody in the legal field, they were like, yes, 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 I've heard your information. I'm just thinking about my defence for you and I haven't got one. So move on to the next individual public defender. I know it doesn't work that way, but genuinely, if I was a public defender and somebody told me this story that is cow had actually been responsible for, I'd be like, I really don't think this is going to be a win for me. So unless I can get her to absolutely accept her guilt, I'm not going to defend her. But nonetheless, she's still messing with the system. She hasn't got legal representation and that delays things. Now we get to October the 8th, 2024. At this point, the state file a notice of the intent to seek the death penalty against her. So the prosecution basically outlined 5 aggravating factors which will justify, as far as they're concerned, the death penalty pursuit. The capital felony was committed during the commission of aggravated child abuse. The crime was especially heinous, atrocious and cruel. The homicide was committed in a cold, calculated and premeditated manner. The victim was under 12 years of age. The victim was particularly vulnerable due to the defendant's position of familial or custodial authority. Now, of course, that doesn't matter to her. She's still going to go not guilty. Now, currently, she remains incarcerated at the Lake County Jail. She's not got bond. Her trial hasn't actually commenced yet. No sentencing.
This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
It has been determined, but let's be clear, if somebody reaches the bar for a death penalty, I think she genuinely does. The deadbeat dad in this case, he's being held without bond at the Lake County Jail. He must be used to it. He spent a lot of time in jail. This guy should not be walking the streets freely ever again. And he also has his trial pending. No sentencing has occurred at this moment in time. So both of the cases are still in pre-trial phase. So no final judgments or sentences have been issued. And that means that the legal process is ongoing and there's going to be more developments, and that's going to determine the outcomes for both defendants. I think the hellevator directly to the big burning pits of hell is what they both deserve, but we shall wait and see, and I will definitely add it into the description of this case when I have the information. Now, during this particular case, it's absolutely evident systemic failures in protecting Jamaria Sessions. So authorities have acknowledged that a critical welfare check request that could have prompted intervention was just overlooked. They just didn't do it. Also, there's no public record indicating that Child Protective Services or other agencies had previously intervened or even monitored Jamaria's well-being, despite the severity of the abuse that she clearly endured. And also, we've got to remember that saying, it takes a village to raise a child, and I think it can take a village to destroy one, because this abuse, let's be clear, think about the state of her body when she died. Think about the people who saw her at the airport in the wheelchair. Think about the individuals on the cruise who knew instinctually there was something terribly wrong with this child, and yet the alarm wasn't raised. That abuse occurred within a community setting, but there was no indication that neighbours, educators, or other community members reported any concerns. And that shows a possible lack of awareness, or also, let's be clear, a reluctance to support suspected abuse. You know what I've said time and time again on my channel? Risk offending, get it wrong. My God, get it wrong. Rather than fail to actually tell anybody about what you fear, and then the consequences, a child dies. It's better to be over-concerned where children's welfare is concerned. It's as simple as that. Now, when news got out that Jamaria had been murdered, understandably, there was a public outcry. Her local community was devastated. So her funeral was obviously very well attended. It took place on August the 3rd, 2024 at 2 p.m. It took place at Mitchell's Funeral Home Chapel, 501 Fair Villa Road, Orlando, Florida. Her obituary stated, Jamaria was lovingly referred to as Little Miss Jamaria Sessions. She was remembered as a bright, animal-loving child who aspired to become a veterinarian. Her grandmother said, she was a sister's keeper. Every time you see one, you see the other. That was the sweetest girl in the world. I blame the system. Yes, I do. CPS and the courts. Because if they had just one person cared, she wouldn't be dead right now. And you know what? The grandmother's right. Because if they had let the grandmother keep both the children, it would not have led to the separation of the youngest sibling from Jamaria. It would have meant that they were together as a cohesive community within that network of family. And it would have meant that they were both alive to tell the stories today. Instead, one sibling exists now without the sister who used to keep her, the sister who used to love her, the sister she would have looked up to as a role model. Only one of them has survived. And why? Because the woman and the deadbeat father who were meant to protect this child were so discompassionate, so neglectful, so egocentric, so concerned about their own needs that it would not have mattered if she had just disintegrated in front of them. Neither would have tried to pick up the pieces for Jamaria. They had no feelings connected to that child. That's where dangerous scenarios play out. Because as a human adult, to not have feelings towards a child that are positive, whether that's your biological or non-biological, whether that's a child that's a friend of your own children's, we should always have positive inclinations towards them with a protective mechanism that overrides everything else. The monster in this story did absolutely the opposite. She saw her as a punch bag, an opportunity to project and vent, and finally an opportunity to destroy. Because Jamaria was never a child. She was just property. She was a waste of time. She was a problem. And so a solution was created. And that solution was permanent and ended this little 9-year-old girl's lives. It's unbelievable to me that this happens day in and day out. But this case, because of the interrogation, because of the information that was shared within the actual autopsy report, it just brings home that there are children behind closed doors in all of our areas, all over the world, who are suffering unspeakable violence. And not all of them end up dead, but they're suffering still, and we have to do more. If a lesson can be learned from the case of Jamaria, it's that we all have to speak out more. I hope the two perpetrators in this case get life without parole. If they don't get the death sentence, I know obviously the deadbeat dad won't get the death sentence, but certainly Tashiel could get the death sentence. And I tell you what, my heart wouldn't miss a beat if she did. See you again next time. Loads of love, guys. Look after yourselves. Be safe.
That's it for Bang to Rights today. Join me for the next episode. See you then. Be safe.